good afternoon, everyone. It's certainly good to be back with each and every one of you tonight. We're thankful for your presence here. If you're visiting with us, you're an honored guest. Go ahead and grab a Bible out in front of you. Turn it over to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Over to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And I'll meet you there in just a second. You know, with this weekend and today's meeting has been based around challenges that the 21st century Christian is facing today. And all of us, regardless of our age or regardless of how old we might be, we are all 21st century Christians. Every last one of us are. And so the sermon tonight, the spiritual pitfalls in a cyber world, fit in just great. How could we have a meeting about the 21st century Christian without talking about the cyber world and the spiritual pitfalls that face us? And before I go any further, I just want to say, I was born in 1996. Some of you might even laugh. 1996 is when I was born. And I'm bringing this information to you from the perspective of someone who grew up in the cyber world. Not someone who saw it come about. Someone who grew up with technology. Not only did I see the good things about technology, I saw the spiritual pitfalls that they faced. I was someone who fell victim to some of these at one time or another, like we probably all have. And my call to you today, if you're a parent, don't be naive. Don't underestimate the spiritual pitfalls that this cyber world can not only have to you, but also to your children. And for those of us who are young and in college, take heed to yourself, lest you fall. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "All things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing." It says the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Man, ever since the beginning, has always been unsatisfied with the things he has, so he has to create something new, something brand new for himself to enjoy. It says in verse 9, "That which has been done, or that which has been, and that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun." Nothing new. The same one. For mankind to have something new, something brand new, has always been. The Ecclesiastic writer here explains that everything that could have been done has been done. And then in verse 10, "Is there anything of which one might say, 'See this, it is new'? Already it has existed for ages which were before us." Technology has been around all the whole world over. It just keeps advancing and advancing to the point where it is today. And so what I want to make is the conclusion that we can apply the Word of God to the technology we have today. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'll start off by asking this. Raise your hand. We're going to do a lot of hand raising. Raise your hand if your kids have some form of technology. In some kind, whether it's a laptop or a smartphone, raise your hand. Okay, everyone keep your hands up. Keep your hands up if you know that your kid knows more about that technology than you do. Yeah, no one's going to lower their hands. It's pretty clear that your kids are going to know more about the technology. We grew up with it. We understand how it works. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. The parents throughout all generations have felt that at some point or another. Their kids are going to know a little bit more about something than they do. And this afternoon, I want to make an objective of mine very clear from the beginning. My objective is not to have everyone walk away thinking technology is just an evil thing. There is no way in this world I want my kids to be using technology. Not so. That's not what I want to teach. I mean, all things we have can be used for evil. You think about money and authority. Those things can be used for evil, and so can technology. It can have spiritual pitfalls. And just about every aspect of technology tonight that we're going to be talking about, discussing, has some good sides to it. There's some things about it that are just awesome and really cool. But we're going to be talking about the spiritual pitfalls. Don't walk away thinking I need to get rid of all my technology for the sake of my children. That's not what I'm teaching. Rather, I'm encouraging you, those who are in college or those who are parents, to be vigilant and diligent in guarding your kids from some of the evil things there. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, a very well-known passage to a lot of people, Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Fathers, it is your job to protect and control your children. to instruct them in the Lord, show them how the Word of God applies in every aspect of life. And we need to take heed first to ourselves. So we're going to go real quickly. We're going to go through the 3 points. I'll go ahead and give them to you up front. This thing's not on. There it goes. Number one, we're going to talk about sexual immorality in the cyber world. We're going to talk about slandering or cursing in the cyber world. And then we're going to talk about addiction / obsession in the cyber world. Let's go ahead and begin with sexual immorality. Going back too far. As we all know, this problem is one that faces adults as well. But not to neglect the fact that our children are not faced with this temptation once they reach a certain age. That's foolish thing. They're going to be faced with this kind of problem. And sometimes our thinking may be as parents, you know, if I bring my kids to church their whole lives and go to Bible classes and that they listen to the sermons, then I'll never need to talk to them about the birds and the bees. They'll know to stay away from stuff like that. Surely they will. That's wrong. Parents, I'm going to speak to you candidly, and college kids as well, for when we all have children. Do you want your kids to grow up wishing that their parents would have done a better job safeguarding them from some of the pitfalls on the internet? Pornography, mainly. I can't tell you, or I can tell you with some certainty, if we don't get a cap on the sexual immorality that's in the cyber world, it is going to ruin the church that we see before us right now. And it already is, because it's out there. Pornography is a problem with our children. And I'll show you. Typically, I don't use statistics in sermons. I'll just be honest with you. I don't always like to use them. I like to use the Word of God to prove what I'm trying to say. But listen to these statistics. They're just absolutely dumbfounding in regards to teenagers and the use of pornography. 93% of boys and 62% of girls are exposed to internet pornography before the age of 18 in some way or another. 70% of boys have spent more than 30 consecutive minutes looking at online pornography on at least one occasion. And the last one that's more staggering than I think than anything. Only 3% of boys and 17% of girls have never seen internet pornography by the age of 18. Now, we can try and throw those statistics out all that we want, but they're true. And it's sad how true they really are. Behind me, I have Galatians 5, 19 through 21, the King James Version. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. And it goes on to say at the end of verse 21, these things which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Lasciviousness can be described as unrestrained behavior, indecency, unbridled lust, filthy words, indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. So yes, no doubt this pornography fit into this category. The statistics are staggering. But as God's people, we're called to be the minority in those statistics. Our children are called to be the minority in those statistics. But I want to talk to you first about accountability. Raise your hands if you have kids that have been baptized and have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and they are walking Christians today. Raise your hand. Okay, that's a good number right there. So if so, not only do you have a responsibility as a parent to keep them in the Lord, but as a brother or sister in Christ, you have a responsibility to hold them accountable for the sin that they might be sinking in. Turn your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27, we're going to look at verse 17. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. Of course, we have the idea here of two pieces of metal sharpening one another to become stronger and to become sharper for a purpose. And this is one of the blessings of God's people, that we sharpen one another. And you know, oftentimes we apply this concept in different ways. Brother Andrew, you know, he's good song leading, and I need to be better at song leading, so I'm going to go to him and ask him to become a better song leader. Or Sister So-and-so, she is just such a good encourager. I want to learn how to encourage people better. And I think that's a great application of this verse. But this verse is much more complex than that. We are to watch out for each other. And if there is another brother or sister, whether it's our child or not, sinking in the pit of pornography, then it is our job as their family. I've said that twice in the last two sermons. We're not an institution. We're not a doctor's office. We're a family. They are our family. It's our job to help them. It's not the world's job. The world's only going to give them a reason why they can continue in that sin. They're not going to try to help. And I've provided a checklist with some things you might consider doing with your children's devices. If you have that in front of you, go ahead and take a look. I highly recommend this program called Covenant Eyes. It's not a complete lockdown. It gives them some liberty. Yet you still have the ability to monitor what they are looking for. So what you would do on their computer or on their smartphone, you would disable the ability to get on an internet source of any kind. You would download this app, and they could only access the internet through that application. And every day, you get an email. I personally have someone that I get their emails to make sure they're doing okay. And I block out the names here. I get an email every day telling me how they did. And it's an accountability report. And then you'll see here, it talks about the different web searches they had, the incidents they might have had. And if anything comes up or pings, I know, and I can talk to them about it. This stuff is not that expensive. There's another one on there, or this one in particular, blocks specific websites. And you'll see via email every day what your kids are looking at or what someone else has been looking at. And I also highly recommend QStudio. It's free for one device. It's more of a lockdown than Covenant Eyes is, but it's a very good program nonetheless. And there's something worth noting. I understand that we need to let our kids have some liberty and let them have some trust so that they can learn to do these things on their own. But there is a balance that must be learned here. We can't just let them run wild like dogs. We have to keep a leash on them. They will eventually be on their own. And in the handout, you'll see more information about those kind of programs. I've provided my information at the top of the page there. If you have any questions, please get with me. But I believe every parent or every adult or every college student should look into getting some kind of software on their computers to keep this stuff out. And even if it's not something that we struggle with, we just keep that nasty stuff from popping up. Why place a stumbling block in front of us like we talked about yesterday morning? We cannot be ignorant, parents. We cannot be ignorant, everybody. Locking our kids in our bedroom with a smartphone, laptop, iPad at night might not be the best idea. With nothing on it, when they might be able to access anything. And I want to suggest a couple of things, just a few things, and then we'll move on to the next point. The first thing, if I can afford these devices for my children, if I can afford these devices for myself, I can afford the necessary technology for blocking evil things. There is no doubt in my head, and I know it's not that expensive. I should be able to diligently keep them away from these kinds of things. Number two, ask ourselves this question honestly. Do my kids need a smartphone or a device at all? Now, I'm not judging you as a parent. I had a smartphone growing up and everything was just fine. However, really ask ourselves, do they need this? Maybe they only need a phone that can call or text, but I'm not a parent. That's up for you all to decide. This is only for you to answer what's best for your family. And number three, how about keeping family devices in the open, in the middle of the living room, where everybody can see what's going on? Everything is an open room. Now, I think these three things are a big step, but I'm going to get back to something that I know will work, and that's in Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. Study with our children passages like this. We're not going to look at anything filthy. And when anything pops up, I know that might be hard to see. If anything pops up, we are going to turn our eyes away from it. I know several families who have put this verse above the television or above the laptop. What a great idea. Scripture right there to remind you. Study passages like Job 31 and verse 1. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes, which is what that program is named after. Why then should I look upon a maiden? Teach our kids, we make a covenant with our eyes that we won't look at nasty things like that. There is no way that I'll look at anything like that. Hold your kids accountable, parents. Hold them accountable now. Hold yourself accountable. Because if you don't, I think you all know where I'm going with this. God, the judge, will hold us accountable and hold our kids accountable for the sins that they've done. It's a serious thing. My kids would never do that, Chase. They would never look at anything like that. They're in the minority of those statistics. I've heard that. I don't mean it in an arrogant or braggadocious way. I've helped a lot of young men with this kind of thing, and I've had across the kitchen table a mother tell me that, yet she did not know her son was struggling with that. Don't fool yourselves. We need to guard our kids and ourselves against this. The next thing I want to talk about is texting, sexting, or another word, Snapchat. Raise your hand here if your kids know what Snapchat is. Keep your hands up if you know what Snapchat is. Yeah, all right, so we still had some go down. Let me define what Snapchat is for you. A mobile messaging service from Snappy that sends a photo or video to someone that lasts only up to 10 seconds before it disappears. Now, what do you think kids are using that for? What do you think the potential temptation might be? Now, I understand a lot of kids are using it just for social media purposes. There's nothing bad going on. But what might the temptation be? I think we all know. And it's a danger that our kids are facing. And the same goes for texting as well. It's a temptation for our kids. Brethren, I was in high school 3 years ago. They're no longer talking about what so-and-so had on that day. They're looking at pictures of it because she sent them around school. That's how gross this world has gotten. That's where we're at now. It's time to protect our kids. Turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The admonition here is for them to pay attention. Do not be foolish. We need to teach our kids how to watch out for the evil in the world. And I think sometimes we shelter our kids. We don't expose them and show them what kind of evil is out in the world. And then once they do get out there, they run wild and free. If you're a parent this morning or this afternoon, but your kids are not teenagers, then you might be thinking that this does not matter to you. You might be thinking, Chase, I've still got a long time, so I need to worry about that. Turn your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. And again, I want to just say again, I can't bring this information to you as a parent because I'm not one. I can only bring it to you as someone who grew up in the cyber world. And in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now is the time to start training. Now is the time to start having these conversations, maybe not get so in depth, but talk to them about it. And they should know by the time that they get older the potential temptations that might be there. And they should know that when a device is bought, I need to put some software on that. Whether they buy it themselves or whether you buy it for them. What a fantastic habit to get into. So we do not need to be naive towards the spiritual pitfall of sexual immorality in the cyber world. But I want to move on to the next one. Slander or cursing in the cyber world. Turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 25 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Pick up in verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. What an imperative thing for our children to learn. To speak only kind words, where will they learn this, Mom and Dad? Where are they going to learn to speak kind words about one another and speak kind words about the brothers and sisters? They're going to learn from you. And the older ones here, the college students, where are the younger ones here going to hear learning from you? We're all examples. On the way home from church, or they hear us talk about how upset we are about a decision that elders made, and we maybe don't talk so good about the elders when we're in the van on the way home. Do you think that leaves an impact on how they respect authority sometime? Absolutely. Pick up in verse 26. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Do not give the devil an opportunity. What a fantastic thing we can teach our children from their youth up. I don't care what instance we're in, we're not going to give way to the devil. That means staying out of his way. We're not going to go where he treads. Do you remember in Proverbs 7? The young man lacking sense, what did he do? He went to hurt him. He went in the way of sin. And we've got to teach our kids to stay away from sin. Don't go where it lurks. Don't go into the fire. Stay away from it. Don't play the fire. In verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. And in verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. If we're going to speak at all, let it be done for edification. Pretty simple, straightforward. And are our children hearing us speak things of edification? Are they hearing us curse? Are they hearing us speak badly about others? In verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and then be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. I bring these verses up for one reason. All of these sins we're talking about, the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, the malice, are made available on social media, in the cyber world, in some way or another. And that's the first thing I want to talk about, is social media. Of course, by that, I mean Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and even Snapchat. All of these give way to this kind of sin where we can slander one another or talk badly about one another. Side note, by the way, kids don't use Facebook anymore. It's not cool. All the older people got on, they don't use it anymore. So just a heads up in case you were wondering. And now with this being said, I understand that these things are not used in this way. Brother Dan McKibben, he goes overseas, I'm able to keep up with him on Facebook and see how his work is going. Same goes for a lot of brethren that go overseas. Gary Fisher goes to Brazil. I'm able to keep up with him on Facebook. And all these social media outlets have good things. But the title of the sermon is The Spiritual Pitfall, so we'll move past that. But let me suggest two potential dangers to you that social media may face. And the first one is going to be handling conflict. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And let's pick up in verse 15. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. You know, the Bible does a beautiful job telling us how to handle conflict in a godly and biblical way. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Jesus' instructions, he says, if your brother sins, don't show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. This is one of many passages that tell us how to handle conflict. But when we get behind a computer screen or a smartphone, we become bulletproof. And we'll just say anything, absolutely anything. And the temptation to say something to someone that you would never say to their face is now available. We now are tempted to say those things because it's behind a computer screen. There's no face-to-face interaction, and that's definitely what kids are growing up with this being a way to solve their problems, to just slander them on social media. You know, the average teenager sends 60 text messages per day. That reduces face-to-face communication time, we know that. And whether this is slandering them on social media or handling these issues via text or instant message, this is a problem. We are then creating a generation that knows absolutely nothing about biblical peacemaking, doesn't even know how it works. And brethren, let's all think about this too. Do we know certain brethren that maybe need to have their Facebook account deleted? Maybe they're damaging their influence with those that are outside the body because they're slandering or cursing non-Christians. Maybe they're not cursing, but they're certainly not doing any good on social media. We need to be vigilant about this. We need to be aware of these things. And the next issue I want us to talk about in regards to the slander and cursing in the cyber world is what we call cyberbullying. Cyberbullying is when, let's say, you're in middle school or high school, or it doesn't matter what age you're in, and when you don't like a certain someone, you go on social media and you make fun of them behind their back to all these other people, and no one knows about it, and a lot of kids get caught up in cyberbullying. 7.5 million Facebook users are under the age of 13 years old. 81% of teens say bullying online is easier to get away with. Well, no doubt, since you're not face-to-face, of course it's easier to get away with. 3 million kids per month are absent from school due to bullying. And 20% of kids cyberbully, they think about suicide. 1 in 10 of them actually attempt it. And 4,500 kids commit suicide each year. It's the number 3 killer in the U.S. Car accidents number 1, homicide number 2. We need to face the facts. Either our kids, if they're on social media, are going to be cyberbullied, or they are the cyberbullied. Now, of course, we might fit somewhere in the middle where that's not the case. And there are obvious exceptions to this if we pay attention. We must pay attention, though. In Proverbs 17 and verse 27, he who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. And even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. How many people can say they have seen this apply to some of their friends on Facebook? They post constantly about controversial things, whether they be biblical, whether they be political. They're just always posting controversial things, and they come off looking like a fool. Better for them to have just been silent and kept themselves quiet. You know, I can learn from you. Sometimes I talk too much, whether in person or sometimes on social media, and Rebecca has helped me a lot with that, to know when to keep quiet. But we must guard our children from social media and don't let this become a habit of theirs. But where are they going to learn it from first? They're going to learn it from their parents, and they're going to learn it from their peers. And what be the college kids? In Ecclesiastes 10, verse 20, furthermore, in your bedchamber, do not curse a king, and in your sleeping rooms, do not curse a rich man, for a bird of the heavens will carry the sound, and a winged creature will make the matter known. I meant to put a Twitter emblem in the corner of this. The idea, of course, that the bird is going to take that sound, and he's going to take it off, and then there's absolutely nothing that you can do about it. It's gone after it's posted, just like a bird. And you should know, we should know, I'm going to move on to this idea of kids being cyberbullied. We should know when our kids are being cyberbullied. We ought to know that. When something is wrong with our kids. I think about how well Abraham knew Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. And Isaac was willing to lay his life down just simply because Abraham told him to. We really don't think about it all the time from the perspective of Isaac. Isaac trusted his dad, and Abraham knew Isaac. But Abraham only established that amount of trust with his son by spending some time with him. We need to spend some time with our kids. We need to know them well enough. That way, if something is going on at school or something is going on on social media, we can catch the signs and we can help them. And then the third thing I want to point out, addiction/obsession in the cyber world. I want us to consider what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 about what masters us. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to pick up in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Well, we know these verses. A lot of times we go to these verses, that way we might be able to say, Brother so-and-so, you need to get this fixed or you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Or I need to fix this thing in my life so that I will remain faithful. But what does it say in verse 12? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me. Paul says, but I will not be mastered by anything. Paul gives us this list of things that can separate us from God, but he goes on to say that he won't be mastered by anything. What masters us? What does this mean? Sin can master us, but so can other things. And isn't it interesting how many of those sins we see in verses 9 and 10 can master us? What about the drunkard? What about the fornicator with sex addiction and things like that? What about the swindlers, those who steal out of compulsion? Sin is an addicting thing. It is an obsessive thing. And the word master here means to exercise authority over. The Greek word actually means to exercise authority over. And nothing can have authority over us except Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, verse 18, we find out that all authority has been given to Christ. And we cannot leave room for something else to have authority over us. The things that do have authority over us are ordained by God. Elders, parents, government, those things are all ordained from the Scripture over us. But we cannot be mastered by those things. And our kids face addiction every day of their lives. Not just drugs and alcohol. Yes, they are faced with that temptation and that obsession. But here are a few forms in which modern technology can steal our children and cause them to become addicted or obsessed. And the first thing I want to talk about is video games. My sister-in-law is a school teacher. She's not here. She lives in Beattyville. And she's been teaching school for, I guess, 4 or 5 years now. And I want to share something with you all that she said. She teaches elementary school. She said, I have taught almost every grade in elementary school. I have seen what video games can do to the kids. Because parents let their kids play video games all the time, and sometimes all night and some at night, I can see these kids playing a video game in their head. I cannot teach them what I need to teach them because their head is in a video game. And I don't know, there might be some school teachers here. You all probably know exactly what I'm talking about. They can't focus on anything because they've been up all night playing video games. And my sister-in-law is catching on to something. She's not just ranting about how evil video games are. Y'all, I like video games. I grew up in the cyber world. I grew up playing video games. It can be fun. All the college guys and girls here, they know that. They can be fun. But it's an obsession of them is what irritates my sister-in-law. Video games can be a good thing. They can jog the brain. They can challenge you even. But some are gross. Some are immoral. And disgusting things that should not be played, let alone looked at. So, your kids have video games. You need to check the ratings. If you play video games yourself, you need to check the ratings. There can be a lot of immoral things that come up on those. But my sister-in-law's testimony here is one that must be related to something else. Something else that's far more important than a kid's secular education. What about our children's Bible classes? What chance does a kid have to learn about Jesus Christ when their head is always stuck in a video game? When they might see the gruesome, horrible things that are in some video games, are they going to really understand how horrible and gross the death of our Savior was? I don't know. But I think that's definitely something that could go wrong there. And also, television or movies is another addiction our kids are facing in the cyber world. The same kind of thing can be said about this as well. Side note. Just because a movie is animated does not make it clean. I would look into programs like TV Guardian, I've provided that on the sheet as well, and other programs that will block profanity and that kind of junk from the television. But we need to help them see what is really important, and we need to see it ourselves. Mom, Dad, what are the kids seeing when they get home? Or when you get home from work? Are they seeing us sit down and watch the television until we fall asleep and that's it? Or are we spending time with our kids and studying with them, studying the Bible? Or are we ignoring them as we watch TV? Do we see how this addiction can get passed along? I think we certainly can. And it's important that we see that. And I want to transition to the conclusion for tonight. Technology has its place in the world. It's not evil in and of itself. Turn your Bibles over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm going to read a couple more passages that are familiar to us. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Parents and ourselves, we need to guard our children. We need to guard ourselves. Parents, show your kids that you want to protect their souls. Take the necessary steps to protect them from these things. It is your job to hold them accountable. I'm going to say something I want to sink in for all of us, let our parents and even those who are in college. You are raising the Lord's church. Let that sink in for me. You are raising the Lord's church. How serious are we taking our jobs? Because if we let the cyber world will pervert and prevent the spiritual growth in our children's lives. So those are some of the challenges facing the 21st century Christian. Now this is a heavy lesson for us. And I want us to end on a positive note, because I know this is kind of a negative sermon. Where do I start? Guys, how do I start protecting myself? How do I start protecting my kids? And you may be thinking, where do I start? Well, every battle starts on your knees. In the book of Job, it talks about how Job prayed for his children routinely. We can take a page out of Job's book and do the same. Start this battle off with a prayer to God, and then use His guidelines to help protect your children and yourself. So I want us to go ahead and do it. Won't you bow with me? Our God in heaven, great is your name above all others, Lord. We pray now that you help us in leading our children to success. Not success in this world, God, but success in their spiritual lives. We pray that you be with us as individuals and parents, that we will lead by example and show them what the will of God is for them. Help us, God, as we go through this battle. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your kind attention. If you're not a Christian tonight, perhaps these are some of the sins that you've been facing. You might be asking the same question. Where do I start? You can start by rendering your entire life over to Him tonight. By hearing the Word as you just heard, believe in Him. Repent of your sins. And in Acts 2:38 it says, once you repent of your sins, be baptized, immersed in water, to have your sins washed away, for the forgiveness of those sins. You know, something hit me yesterday. I was baptized right here. Heights building. They didn't have a building with it. Special place for them. And if you are a child of God tonight, as many of us are, maybe this is something you've struggled with. Maybe this is something you've fallen short of. We're family. We're here to pray for one another and to help you. If we can help you in any way tonight, won't you make your way to the front as we stand and as we sing?